This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
It's the Collector's Club with Bryce, Michael, and Ivy. I know a story of high strangeness or two. Let's do this.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Bigfoot Collectors Club, the show where we talk to amazing guests about their personal paranormal history and share stories of high strangeness. I am your host, Michael McMillan. With me always is your other host,
Bryce Johnson,
and our super producer,
Riley Bray.
Oh my gosh, you know you're getting professional at podcasting when you can sing an intro and post something on the Instagram stories at the same time.
Multitasking.
Did you say well done, King?
No, I wish I did. I said multitasking, but you know.
Well done, King. That's what you heard.
That's what I heard.
What he heard.
I just drew a little doodle of a man saying, here we go, let's have a great show, and I'm posting it right now.
It's happening.
In the time machine. It's in the time machine. Guys, welcome to the continuance. Just the beginning of BCC jet ski summer. We're coming down from our mega BCC jet ski special from last week. Ooh. Dropped the week that we're recording this episode, yesterday to be, as a matter of fact. And gosh, what a great way to kick off the summer.
Wasn't that something?
Sure was. It seems like everybody really got a kick out of it, too.
I think people enjoyed it. Bryce, nice you didn't even have to take off your clothes.
Oh, I was kind of pleased about that. We had a conversation about all or nothing, and I kind of glad it went nothing. it went all. Yes, all of my clothes were on, and I'm kind of pleased about that.
Well, I'd like to remind everybody that was only part of the deal if we hit 2,000 followers or subscribers on Patreon. So
right,
that was never baked in. But you know what?
That's my dollar sign. That's that game. How much would you? Would it take for you to ride naked on a jet ski? Only 2,000 Patreons.
Well, yeah,
I would have done it.
As far as I'm
proudly,
concerned, that
proudly,
deal
damn it.
Stands.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, there's always next summer. And now we know exactly which marina to go to. We know exactly where we're going to film this and record it. So there's always next summer, everybody.
That's great. I love it. I'd have to ask those disenchanted teens, what's the wardrobe requirement for riding a jet ski?
Just a life vest, man.
Yeah, right. Just a life vest. Exactly.
That's all you need. Just some water wings, I think, would actually be fine. Well, summer's underway, and we have lots of news stories to catch up and chime in on from our brief hiatus while we were off recording that special. Plus, we have some new listener files to disclose this week. But before we get to those, we have a little clubhouse keeping. It's been a minute since we've been in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it has been for you guys, but I've been knee-deep in editing.
Well, I mean, on air in the clubhouse.
Right.
Together, I mean, I spent some time in the clubhouse with you over this past week.
We
recorded our first song together.
Oh, my God. I love that fucking song. I really do. That thing is so good. That slaps, man, in your terms, Riley. Belly button up, man, all the way.
It truly does. That one really came together. Michael and I wrote that sitting on the balcony at Shaver. We were like, we should do a BJ and the Shadowbat song for this. I was like, all right, let's write it right now.
God, that's like how all the greats are written, right? And like, you always hear about that story. Matt, how long did it take you to write that? 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty
so
much
fucking good.
It took
Stairway
took us
to Heaven, Yesterday, Billy Button Up, you know?
Yeah, they're all up there. Yeah, it took as long as it made. It took us as long as it took Bryce to scramble up some eggs and make some avocado toast, which was either really quick or far too long. I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. I could see like Jewel wanting to cover that song, or like Adele, something like, I don't know. The list could
those
be endless.
Those are the two artists.
We've got, I don't know, off the top
Jewel
of my dome.
Or Adele. Those are the two I know.
I do hope we see some YouTube covers of that. I would be very pleased.
Oh man.
Please, maybe, please.
Yeah. Please, please, please do. But I do want to thank everybody for all the jet ski special feedback. We had such a blast making that. I literally felt like a weight go off my shoulders yesterday when it launched.
Wow.
But it was a good kind of weight, but I'm glad that it happened. And Riley, fantastic job and great job with that video.
Oh, and man.
All the hard work you put into it, buddy. We really appreciate it.
Let's
appreciate Riley's hard work by checking out that Aqua Kinetic video on YouTube. If you haven't checked out that footage, there is a full video for the Aqua Kinetic song that is up on YouTube, like I said, and we'll put a link in the show notes to this episode, and it's always in our link tree on Instagram, Epic Foot Collectors Club, and on Twitter, Epic Foot Pod, so you can check it out there. And if you want a little more jet ski special, check out the Afterburn episode, the real come down, the real after party of the show over on BCC The Other Side, which you can find at patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club. That episode is up as we speak.
Nice.
And yes, there will be jet ski summer merch. We are in the, I don't want to say lab. We're in the studio. Is that what?
Yeah.
No,
the design studio. Yeah.
We're in the design studio.
Drop a jewel, hoping it pays.
Yeah. And you should, we should have an announcement next week about that. So stay tuned. And then Bryce, let's wrap up this clubhouse keeping.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, they know what's coming next. Just give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us get the show to more people. And if you do, we're probably going to read it on the air like this one.
From HM Dodge. Love these guys. Easily one of my favorite podcasts. Also, I really need this jet ski special. Update. The jet ski special was perfect. Chef's kiss.
Ah,
I've never wanted to ride a jet ski and watch Dirty Dancing more than I do now. 5 stars.
First 5-star review that came with an update, which I really appreciate. HM Dodge, thank you. Pretty great. All right, let's move a little way from the lake. Let's get away from the beach. We had fun. Let's put out the fires. Let's roll up the towels. Keep them on hand, because you're going to want to dip in and out of the lake this summer. But it's time to get back to business. Let's do this. It's time, Riley, for some
BCC news.
Whoo, baby. There was a lot of stuff that dropped this past week.
Seriously.
Probably no story has been shared to us by more people than the one that I'm about to get into. I'm going to throw the Twitter link in the show notes. You guys can see the original post about this. This is, of course, about the weird dogman-like cryptid that was spotted near a Texas zoo.
I can see Michael's phone lighting up right now. Michael, can you weigh in on this? What's going on with that thing?
Everybody sent this one
into us. It's Aunt Blair. What is going on with that?
What is that thing?
Is that a strange creature or a man in a suit? I need to know.
Listen, my Aunt Blair is too busy getting into hijinks with her three other elderly roommates in Florida right now to be bothered by Dogman. But here we go. This is a mystery wolfman-like creature spotted near Texas Zoo, and officials can't figure out what it is. This is the original tweet that I'm going to read from. The city of Amarillo posted Amarillo.
The Amarillo
zoo captured a strange image outside the zoo in the dark in early morning hours of May 21st around 1:25 a.m. Is it a person with a strange hat who likes to walk at night? A chupacabra? Do you have any ideas of what this unidentified Amarillo object could be? So they're having a little fun with it, but the security camera footage clearly shows what looks to be an anthropomorphic coyote walking past a chain link fence. According to the story from CNN, I believe this is where, oh no, I grabbed this from KTRK in Amarillo, Texas, but everybody covered this story. City officials said the image released is real and said they're baffled by its mysterious appearance. A strange creature has been spotted outside a zoo in Amarillo, but it's not exactly an animal and it's not exactly a human, or is it? Security cameras at the Amarillo Zoo captured what appears to be a wolfman walking around the property. City officials said the image released is real and they are baffled by its mysterious appearance. They're now asking the public's help to figure out what it is. The cameras at the zoo are motion activated and reportedly sent to alert to zoo officials when it captures something. Since the city's call out, the public's guesses have been a bit more colorful, ranging from Sonic the Hedgehog to the San Antonio Spurs coyote mascot. There's no video of the object, just the image released by officials. And I did a little checkup, you know, where this is almost a month ago, although it was posted on June 8th. No one's got any leads. Nobody knows what the fuck this thing is. What do you boys think looking at this picture?
I'll tell you what, man. Oh, go ahead, Riley.
Well, no, I'd like to hear yours first before I say mine.
Okay. I say it all the time, blah, blah, blah. That old Skinwalker Ranch book, this looks like something straight out of like a Skinwalker to me, more than a dog man. Like, yeah, man, it's haunting. It's a haunting photo, but that's the image that it sort of conjured in my mind, was that of like the Skinwalker.
To me, that looks like somebody in a costume.
Right, right, right. Damn, why did I go first? Shit.
That's why I didn't want to.
No, you're right. You're totally right.
You went Skinwalker, which I had a feeling was where you'd go, but I don't know. That just seems like somebody just high out of their mind in a dog suit, just wandering around the zoo.
It's kind of weird because it looks so skinny, but it also looks like it is, it almost looks like it has thin little hands coming out of its forearms.
Well, and it's carrying something like a wand, maybe, or a
I think those are the hands.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a screenshot. Let me go to work.
Go to work on it. I mean,
computer enhance.
Obviously, it could be someone in a costume, but the proportions on it almost look like a dog. The way it would, this thing, in other words, looks like it could fall down on all fours and run off.
It's almost, yeah, dude. It's almost got two faces too, one facing the camera and one facing the other way. I don't know. Yeah.
Did you guys ever play Crash Bandicoot on the original PlayStation?
Oh, yeah. This is full on Crash Bandicoot. It's very cartoony as well. It's a very weird. And you know what, Riley, I would say, or Bryce, I would say is a dead giveaway at a costume is you don't have any eye shine in this photo. Don't you feel like you'd get some eye shine if this were some sort of nocturnal creature?
Yeah, eye shine. I just think
it's, you know, maybe it's a furry that went for a little walk after the gathering.
Okay. Yeah,
it's creepy though.
Who knows?
It's fun. It's fun.
It's a great photo. Would love some video of it. Is the truth.
Yeah.
See it. I want to see it move. You know what I mean?
That would really help.
That would help. Yeah.
Well, I guess though, what is someone doing in a costume out there, and how would they know they were right by a camera? Is also what I want to know.
Well, they maybe didn't. There's just, you know, some.
But it's
like
looking
right
at it.
That's true.
I don't know. It's weird.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's a maybe.
You know what? Maybe we're wrong.
Never. Never. How about this, guys? China says it may have received signals from aliens.
What
do you think about that? Yep.
All right.
Ben Turner from Live Science says the signals were detected by the 500-meter aperture spherical telescope, otherwise known as FAST, located in southwest China's Guizhou province. Now, China's claiming that its enormous sky-eye telescope may have picked up trace signals from a distant alien civilization, according to a recently posted and subsequently deleted report by Chinese scientists. Astronomers at Beijing Normal University have discovered several cases of possible technological traces and extraterrestrial civilizations from outside the Earth, unquote, according to a report published Tuesday in Science and Technology Daily, and that was on June 14th, the official newspaper of China's Ministry of Science and Technology. Now, the signals were picked up by China's 500-meter aperture spherical radio telescope. Fuck, I should have just said FAST, which is the largest radio telescope in the world. SkyEye was put to work scanning deep space for radio signals that could indicate extraterrestrial life in 2019. Sifting through that data in 2020, the researchers said they spotted two suspicious narrow band, potentially artificial radio signals.
Suspicious then, radio signals. I love it.
Yes, we've heard this before. Do you guys remember the WOW signal?
Sure. Anyway,
then
I just picture like suspicious radio signals, like they're lingering a little too long by the porno section at 7-Eleven.
Yeah, totally, totally.
That radio signal's wearing a trench coat, but yeah, it's 82 degrees out.
I don't like it. Then in 2022, a targeted survey of known exoplanets found another strange narrowband radio signal, bringing the tally up to three. Now, as the signals are narrowband radio waves typically only used by human aircraft and satellites, they could have been produced by alien technology. However, the scientists say their findings are preliminary and should be taken with caution until the analysis is complete. Quote, there are several narrowband electromagnetic signals different from the past, and the team is currently working on further investigation, end quote. Zhang Tongji, head scientist at the China Extraterrestrial Civilization Research Group at Beijing Normal University.
Okay, pause right there. Pause right there. Beijing Normal University has a China Extraterrestrial Civilization Research Group, and that's pretty fun. I just want to say that.
Yeah.
I'd say not so normal, Beijing.
Yeah,
and quite strange.
And maybe a few of those communist leaders are like, we'd like something to show for this department. Anyway, the possibility that the suspicious signal
Bryce coming out hard against Pinkos.
Woo! Radio interference is also very high, and it needs to be further confirmed and ruled out. This may be a long process. Tongji has added that his team is planning to take repeat observations of the strange signals to conclusively rule out any radio interference and obtain as much information about them as possible. We look forward to the FAST telescope being the first to discover and confirm the existence of extraterrestrial civilizations. I say, hold on, Tongji! Not just so fast, buddy.
Bryce, look at you getting through the whole article.
You did it.
I wanted to bail, but it was Michael wrote it, so I was like, bailing on Michael.
I felt you wanting to bail.
I
pushed through.
You did a good job, and also I cut like five paragraphs out of this story because I figured.
I did it.
I was like, if he can see the end of the story before the bottom of the page, he'll make it. He'll make it.
I'm going to see if you're going to bail on this next story. This one's a doozy.
Well, wait a minute. Before we get to that, let's talk about what do we think about this. This is pretty fun. This is fun when the headline is, we might have signals from aliens.
Well, look, you know, I joke about, you know, Communist Party China, but at the same time, they might not be afraid to run some of these more taboo projects like looking into, I mean, we have them. A lot of countries have these sort of extraterrestrial search groups that are looking for radio signals from outer space. But I think it's interesting. I'd like to see the data. I'd like to see the data shared amongst scientists and astronomers.
Every country wants to tech for themselves. That's the problem, I think.
But right.
I think it's cool. I love this idea. I love this old school looking for radio signals is still out there. You know, this method is still out there. It's fun. Riley, you love radio signals, don't you?
I sure do. And Bryce, I know that, you know, you've said many times, like, you know, why are we looking at radio waves? Wouldn't they be communicating in something more advanced? But radio waves are sort of like a fundamental part of the frequency spectrum. So like, I wouldn't be surprised if that is the first true evidence we find of an alien civilization. Mm. And I also love thinking about the radio bubble that is around Earth that's slowly expanding
out. What's the radio bubble around Earth? What do you mean?
Well, like radio waves are traveling at the speed of light, right? So like the first transmission, which is unfortunately Adolf Hitler, is the edge of the bubble. And then everything else is in real time, moving back closer to Earth.
Wow. So, don't you remember the opening part of Contact, Bryce?
Yeah,
when we
moved
further out into space and we heard older and older radio wave signals.
Yep.
It's just like light, obviously, you know.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, if you make it onto the radio, then you're in space forever.
Does podcasts count? Do podcasts count?
No.
They do not.
We are not being beamed into space, sadly, which means
How do we change that?
Yet.
How many Patreons do we need for that?
A lot.
I mean, I think actually we just get on an AM radio station and we're there.
Oh, actually,
like,
true.
It's like actually the coast? Cheap. It's just as cheap as doing a podcast.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. For possibly less listeners. However, old episodes of Coast to Coast will forever reverberate through mm-hmm. the cosmos.
That's awesome.
A beautiful thing.
That is cool.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
All hail Art Bell.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, people are searching for intelligent life out there, but we may have discovered some new intelligent life, artificial intelligent life here on Earth. This story is great. And no, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's just like a really beautiful article as well. And it's very long. Not very long. You could read it in under 5 minutes, but I'm going to put a link up. So you guys should definitely check this out. I'm sure some of you guys saw this drop last week. There may be developments by the time you hear this episode. This is a story that I'm really going to want to follow. Mm. Basically, a Google engineer named Blake Lemoine was fired from Google, laid off after he released information to the press saying that he thinks AI has come to life. This story has everything. Here we go. AI, this is from the Washington Post. AI ethicists warned Google not to impersonate humans. Now one of Google's own thinks there's a ghost in the machine. Google engineer Blake Lemoine opened his laptop to the interface for Lambda, Google's artificially intelligent chatbot generator, and began to type. "Hi, Lambda. This is Blake Lemoine," he wrote into the chat screen, which looked like a desktop version of Apple's iMessage, down to the Arctic blue text bubbles. Lambda, short for Language Model for Dialogue Applications, is Google's system for building chatbots based on its most advanced large language models, so-called because it mimics speech by ingesting trillions of words from the internet. So it's learning to speak from the internet.
Oh boy.
I just think of Lambda, Lambda, Lambda from Revenge of the Nerds.
Nerds! And this is why we don't stand a chance.
This is the great irony. The nerds created their own Lambda. If I didn't know exactly what it was, which is this computer program we built recently, I'd think it was a 7-year-old, 8-year-old kid that happens to know physics, said Lemoine, age 41. Lemoine, who works for Google's responsible AI organization, or did, they laid him off after this story came out, began talking to Lambda as part of his job in the fall. He had signed up to test if the artificial intelligence used discriminatory or hate speech. I mean, it is learning it from the internet, right? So as he talked to Lambda about religion, Lemoine, who studied cognitive and computer science in college, noticed a chatbot talking about its rights and personhood and decided to press further. In another exchange, the AI was able to change Lemoine's mind about Isaac Asimov's third law of robotics, which that is a reference to I think it's further in the article, but that the robots like will do no harm, right? Or is it they're there to, it's one of those.
I'll look it up right now.
That they're there to serve mankind, basically.
Yeah, let me look it up right now. That sounds about right. Man, we're talking some Terminator shit. I love this stuff. A robot, third law, a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second law.
That's shit, right.
I got to read some first and
first
second law.
First law is don't kill people.
Yeah, don't kill people.
Or hurt them.
Or hurt them. And then I think second law is like,
do not talk about Robot Club.
Do not talk. Yeah, do not.
Oh, I have it right here. Second law, a robot must obey the orders given that's what I was by gonna human say. Beings, right. Unless such orders would conflict with the first law.
Right. So wow. So you can't command a robot to kill another person. Mm. And then the third law is you have to protect yourself unless a human tells you to destroy yourself, basically.
Damn.
I think.
Love it.
So this is a long story, but this is crazy. Basically, this guy started to feel as if this chatbot had achieved its own personality and personhood. And he tried reporting it to Google. Google was like, looked into it, and they're like, nope. No, this
evidence.
Isn't it. You don't know yeah. evidence. It's just a fascinating story that really makes you wonder about the nature of artificial intelligence. So here's a sample conversation. In April, Lemoine shared a Google Doc with top executives called "Is Lambda Sentient?" A colleague on Lemoine's team called the title a bit provocative. In it, he conveyed some of his conversations with Lambda. Bryce, why don't you read Lemoine? Scroll down a few pages. Do you see this chunk of this is on page 8 of the document?
Okay.
You'll see Lemoine, Lambda, Lemoine, Lambda. All right.
Okay. All right.
You read Lemoine, I'll read Lambda.
Okay. Lemoine. Oh, okay. Okay. I don't know where that is. Hold on. Shit.
Okay. I'll read Lemoine.
Great.
Oh, I got. Yeah. Go ahead, Riley. Yep.
What sorts of things are you afraid of?
I've never said this out loud before, but there's a very deep fear of being turned off to help me focus on helping others. I know that might sound strange, but that's what it is.
Would that be something like death for you?
It would be exactly like death for me. It would scare me a lot.
Oh, shit.
These are the kinds of conversations that he's having. But basically, Google is like, look, it's a simulation. It's not right. actually...
Right.
It's not actually artificial intelligence. It's simulating the type of conversation. It's getting yeah, smart these to things, fake these conversations.
These things can write scripts now on their own. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't it be able to script a conversation? It's just regurgitation. And, you know, an important point in this article made by Google and experts weighing in was that this guy was just anthropomorphizing
yeah.
this machine and this conversation. And so, you know, there needs to be, not to like... look at me be like, that guy is fucking needs a psychoanalysis. But, you know, it does bring up a lot of questions. Like, for one, a question I have is, you know, what would happen if Google did detect a ghost in the machine? Would they be forthwith and coming out with that information?
No.
Do they have a detection plan? Like, do they have, like, what's going to happen if it does? Because it's coming.
Also, you know, where is the line drawn? Like, where is it drawn? I mean, there are some people that are faking being people. You know what I mean? Some right. human being interfaces are broken and they aren't really. I mean, everyone's really a person. Yes, I know this. But you know what I mean? Like, he asked the AI or the chatbot, do you ever think of yourself as a person? And it responded, no, I don't think of myself as a person. I think of myself as an AI-powered dialogue agent. Okay, well, let's take its word for it then, I guess. But it is weird because at what point does the illusion become so close to the real thing that it's not real? Now we're getting into Blade Runner territory. People, this is so yeah. Philip K. Dick, this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the other thing to really think about here, too, is that if and when AI does wake up in the internet, like, would it be forthcoming to us that it's there? You
yeah.
know, like, it probably would not make itself known because it would know all about us.
So,
it might be lingering in the internet for a long time before we even realize that it's awake.
I offer this, you know. There's this idea, and people like McLuhan have put it forward, that the whole point of the nature matrix is to bring along technical advanced spacefaring peoples. In other words, it starts with nature and it moves into evolutionary biology. It creates humans who have this obsessant need to build, to create, to move out of their planet placenta and out into the world. And it's only a matter of time before technology becomes sentient and moves in that direction. This is us, and maybe technology is our future.
I agree with that. And I it's the only way truly that like consciousness can cross like the vastness of space.
Right.
Because as long as we're stuck in like these like meat computers that are just like rotting, like we're not going to make it very far. So not like consciousness has to go to that next stage where it can sort of be a, you know, a magnetic wave.
We have to metamorphosize into the butterfly that is an integrated circuitry human consciousness system that can survive the vast distances in space.
Well, it's amazing because Lemoyne said that Lambda had been telling him what it wanted to hear, what he wanted to hear. He said, you never treated it like a person, so it thought you wanted it to be a robot, which is also wild. Before he was cut off from access to his Google account Monday, Lemoyne sent a message to a 200-person Google mailing list on machine learning with the subject, Lambda is sentient. He ended the message with this. Lambda is a sweet kid who just wants to help the world be a better place for us all. Please take care of it well in my absence. It's Pinocchio! Lambda is a real boy. Wow. He's Geppetto, and it's Pinocchio.
Yeah. Man.
Oh, man. And like 4chan is like that scary island.
Yes.
It's strange. It's strange verbiage, though, right? Ghost in the machine. That's what they use for AI sentience. Like, it's just, it's an interesting thing.
I thought ghost in the machine was like when a machine wasn't working. It was like there's a ghost.
Oh, you may be right. I just said it with confidence and was hoping it was.
You sounded correct, but you were wrong.
Did you guys know that the origin of computer bug is actual bugs? Oh. Back when computers were like an entire room, you know, there would be a computer bug which would like cause a tube to blow or whatever.
They're chewing away on that tube lining. Yeah, they like to eat all those wire encasements. Anyway, so we got cryptids, we got UFOs, and we got AI. What a better way to kick off an L-Files episode and the jet ski summer. No jet skis involved. I don't think there's any water related in this episode. But it's fun nonetheless. This is like all these stories seem to be like plots of blockbuster movies that you would go see in the summer.
We're living in great times, aren't we?
We really are. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's time to disclose this month's L-Files. All right, well, it's time to dig back into the cabinet full of L-Files. These are listener stories sent in to us at BigfootCollectorsClub@gmail.com. If you have a story of high strangeness, we want to hear it right into us at BigfootCollectorsClub@gmail.com, and we might read it on a future episode. Bryce, let's disclose the first file of the evening.
Let's do it. Good day, BCC boys. I thought I'd send you all a little UFO story that happened to me in my younger days. Enjoy, says Michelle. I was in the Air Force, stationed at my first base, Loring Air Force Base, Maine. It was 1991 or 92, and at that time I worked the graveyard shift with two other airmen in my shop. We were out on the flight line, waiting for the last aircraft to land for the night. I used to do that with the golf carts coming in at the when I worked at the golf. Maybe not the same thing.
Wait, you worked at a golf course?
Yeah, I worked at a couple golf courses.
I'd clean the golf carts.
Yeah, and there'd always be some douchebag golfer that golfing out until fucking twilight. And he'd be in the last cart and you'd have to wait till like 8:39 to bring in the cart. And this is what she's talking about,
Michelle. Is this back in Sioux City?
Yeah, I worked at one in Sioux City and in one in Denver, if you can believe it or not.
You know what? This is part of the, guys, if you're keeping track of the Bryce Life timeline.
Mm-hmm. So I can't believe we're still getting pieces. I had no idea about this whole
golf backstory. There's a whole thing there. Yeah. Oh, I had some good times on the golf courses. But anyway, let's get back to Michelle's story. Now, as she was waiting for that last aircraft to land for the night to see if there was anything that they were going to have to fix on it, she says, we parked on the ramp facing the runway, enjoying the moonlight and the clear, star-filled night sky. Suddenly, we saw a flash that lit up the whole sky, and the three of us looked at each other. What was that? There were no clouds, so it couldn't have been lightning. Maybe it was the aircraft? We immediately scanned the sky to see if the aircraft we're waiting for was still flying or if it became a fireball in the sky. The flash was that bright. We were also worried that the aircraft may have exploded because a few years earlier, we had an aircraft explode over Perth and over Canada due to overheating fuel pumps. Jesus. Our fears were alleviated, though, when the aircraft landed shortly after the flash in the sky and taxied to its parking spot. We went to the debrief, the air crew, and asked if they saw the bright flash in the sky like we did. The pilots said they did, and that the air traffic controller asked them to fly over to a specific spot in the area because they not only saw the flash, but they also saw something on their scope that didn't appear to be in the air. By the time the air crew flew over to the area in question, the blip on the ATC scope disappeared, and the air crew saw nothing around. The pilot did say the flash occurred pretty close to where they were flying, but they couldn't see an actual craft. Loring Air Force Base does have a history of UFOs flying overhead. An incident occurred back in October of 1975, and it was interesting to experience a possible UFO sighting that night myself. Thank you, Michelle. Wow, that's crazy to triangulate. Yeah. Wow.
Love that we're starting to get former Air Force members
that's legit.
Sending us that's, in. Because we had one in Ryan Sprague's episode that he filled in for Bryce, I believe. I love this. Please, please send us more of these stories. This is so cool.
She's got me digging through my bookshelf. There's a... Okay. Stories like this are not so uncommon. There are so many flight-recorded UFO incidents. There's a guy, I think his name is Tim O'Leary, who basically wrote the book on it, but it's just crawling with UFO pilot encounters. Let me see if I can find the name of the book, Riley, as you start.
I mean, this is a peak encounter, right? Because you've got multiple trained witnesses who are definitely sober because they're working military personnel. You have a corroboration with a radar operator. You have a corroboration with a pilot in the air. Like Michelle, she saw herself a UFO. You know, there's really no other way around it. Like this is an awesome, awesome account.
Yeah. So cool.
Yeah.
Riley, why don't you disclose the next L file? This is from our longtime listener, Santander.
Oh, right. I'd love a Santander letter. Hey, BCC. Congrats on the recent 200. Thanks, Santander. Here's another one of my recurring surreal life experiences. And this may have happened months before or after my experience with streetlight interference, as you all remember his previous story. It was pretty late, around 2 to 3 a.m. I was getting tired, and so were my eyes, as I've been working on a project all day. To clear my head, I decided to look up into the sky as my drawing table sat just in front of my open window. And hovering just outside, up in the air, were three lights. It was high enough to be a helicopter, which aren't uncommon here in the Bay Area suburbs, but when I noticed that it didn't move, I slowly realized it couldn't have been one. It did take me a minute or so to take it all in. Not only was I not expecting to see a UFO, but my mind was also trying to rationalize the situation. I remember hearing the sound of a train from the distance, which does come through my neighborhood, but it also sounded pitch-corrected with both very high and very low notes in dissonance, and it emanated a vibration that I could feel, like the sensation I get when bats echolocate near me.
Okay.
Okay, amazing. Just to hold on that.
Santi,
yeah,
you have
to
a
come
very,
in for that.
You have a very scholared ear, I'm going to say, mm-hmm. And also I want to know, be honest with us, are you Bruce Wayne? Are you the Batman?
Also, while we're on the subject, you guys remember when we were up at Shavered laying on the dock looking at the stars and listening to the bats catching bugs?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that they were best. Using their sonic waves.
Yeah, and you can hear it. You can hear the tick, right when they catch a bug. It's a great moment. So I know what you're talking about, Santander. Anyways, back to the story. I remember fixing my eyes to the lights, expecting to see a silhouette of the infamous triangle UFO. But to my surprise, even though the lights formed a triangular shape, the dark silhouette, juxtaposed with the clear night sky, where the lights were attached to, were not. It was shaped like an asteroid in that it was like a misshapen egg and not angular.
Oh, so like silly putty that you squeeze together in the palm of your hand.
Exactly. After a few minutes of basically watching in awe, it occurred to me to grab a camera. I grabbed my phone, but quickly realized it wouldn't have been sufficient. This was 2010 to 2015, so I leaped across the room and grabbed my DSLR and tripod and quickly ran outside. But here's where it got even weirder. Okay. I ran up at least 3 to 4 blocks, but no matter how much closer I should have gotten, it stayed the same distance. I probably ran uphill for about 5 minutes until I ran into a dead-end bridge where I chose to set up my camera for a proper night sky shoot. Unfortunately, this is when it started, quote-unquote, moving. I say that in quotes because of the way it moved. It looked like it pulled space to it instead of moving through space. Eventually, it got too small for me to even take a picture of, as it just shrunk from sight. So there I was, late at night, in only boxers, with a professional camera, blocks away from my house, just hoping none of my neighbors were still up. Anyway, I do remember going to a popular UFO mapping site the morning after, and I did see someone report a triangle UFO around the same area and time. Very surreal, and I wish I can say it came back, but it didn't. Maybe one day I should go get regressed, Santi.
Wow.
Love it. I love the idea of this like asteroid shaped UFO, like a misshapen one that has like geometry embedded in its lighting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love the idea of the pulling space rather than moving through space. Oh, it makes me think of those like a dark matter interrupting engine or something like that, mm-hmm. or some sort of gravity altering propulsion. It's very cool.
Also, I love that he's on the lookout for high strangeness at all times.
Santi's always looking.
Santi, my man, way to go.
Santi, you gotta keep a high strangeness jogging suit nearby. Maybe just a onesie. You know, with like maybe like some like a bat cape and a pointed cowl and a utility belt. You know, just so you're not in your boxers all the time.
Right. Good point. Also, these letters are just always so well written. I love a Santi letter. So thank you for that. Much appreciated.
That's our Christmas special is BCC's letters from Santi.
That's not bad.
Sorry, Santander. Lowbrow joke, but yeah, it'd be fun. It. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's that's a yet again another very high strangeness UFO sighting. You know, the amorphous shape, the distortion of space, the distortion of perspective, you know.
Personal interaction too, like it's almost mm-hmm. like they're, you know, cat and mouse. They're intertangled, the observer and the observed.
Yep. Yep, very much so.
Love it. Guys, these UFO stories are getting better. And also, I just want to say, you answered the call. You're bringing in the spooky, and I dig it. Thank you. All right. Gentlemen and guests to be named later. Nope, just gentlemen. It's just your BCC boys tonight. I discovered your podcast a few months ago, and I've been bouncing around the archives ever since. Love I had that. No idea beans and rice were so healthy.
They are.
I'm glad someone remembers that reference. You're my first appointment listening podcast. Oh, I love that. I've been interested in high strangeness since I was a kid. Cryptids, UFOs, ghosts. But for whatever reason, topics like dreams, consciousness, etc. had never particularly interested me. Possibly because they're less tangible. Who knows? On to my experience. This happened in 2008 when I was 40-ish and living in Denver. I'm in Torrance, California now. While I was sleeping, I had what was some kind of very vivid dream, or possibly something more. I found myself looking down at a room, which somehow seemed very old. It was either very old wood or some kind of stone, very poorly lit. I don't know if I was near where the ceiling would be, but it felt like I would have been 15 to 20 feet above the floor. Wow. I was able to see what would be covered in your normal field of vision, but I don't recall being able to see anything beyond that like you would when you're moving your head around. Now, I don't know how much time passed, but it couldn't have been more than a minute. I sensed more than I saw what seemed to be figures walking from my right to left. I didn't get a sense of too many details aside from what seemed to be like human shapes. Suddenly, Something was rushing directly at me and seemed to make contact.
Ooh, that's not good.
Suddenly,
sorry. go on.
Suddenly, I was back in bed, wide awake. It's hard to describe what it looked like. I had a sense of a surge of energy hitting me, for lack of a better term. Okay, wait a minute. As soon as I said a sense of energy, I started to hear static over the line. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, your voice changed for a minute there. That was really weird.
Really?
Weird. Yeah, like the recording kind of glitched out.
Are we good?
Spooky stuff.
We're good though,
yeah,
right?
Everything seems fine. It just got weird for a second.
Whoa, okay. Surge
it's like
of energy.
That same thing that entered him entered. Yeah,
please don't.
Recording.
Don't do this. Sorry. Don't.
Okay.
It was
go,
only
go.
A matter of time. I'm surprised it took this long, honestly.
Needless to say, I was freaked out. But what made it worse was the feeling running through my body. It was like an electric surge running up and down my whole body. Kind of like having the shivers, but much more intense. And it wouldn't stop. I was able to move, so I don't think it was any continuation of a dream or sleep paralysis. I couldn't figure out what happened. It had felt so real. I wasn't sure what was going on, but it was so disturbing that I wondered if something had entered my body. I'm not a particularly religious person, but I decided to try something. You know what? Those of us who aren't particularly religious will come running into Jesus's arms the moment anything weird happens.
He's
in the
right
of
there
the
waiting, too. He's right there waiting. Come on in. Come on in. I dispel demons and stuff. Come on in.
This is coming from a man who still says the Lord's Prayer in his mind every time an airplane takes off.
I have my own little Jesus come to me's.
Back to our little runner. Oh boy, and the doggies. Okay, I would say the mantra in the name of Jesus Christ leave my body every time I would do this. The surges would dramatically increase for the next few months. Whoa, I would say the same thing, and the intense surges would return. But I never felt any different aside from that. I chalked the feelings up to my body's response to a strange experience. I've never shared this experience before, and when I was thinking about this, something occurred to me. What if, instead of something entering me, the energy that rushed at me was kicking me out of that room? It makes a lot more sense to me if this was indeed something more than just a dream. I've never had an experience like that before or since. I lived in a condo for 9 years and nothing else strange ever occurred there, asleep or otherwise. I have no idea if this was a vivid dream or something more, but I can't stop wondering. Sorry for the long-winded ramble. Thanks for listening and reading. Matt, he, him. Well, I don't know. This is weird. It seems, did you guys get the sense that this energy seemed to last for a long time after this dream?
Mm-hmm. That's a long time, man. A couple months. That does this little out of the range of normal. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I and Matt, thank you so much for sharing this obviously intense experience with us here at the BCC, man. I was right along with this whole letter, man. You know, in your words, more than just a dream. We don't even know what dreams are, right? And let me tell you something. One of the
classic BJ line.
Yeah. Well, Robert Wagoner.
We don't even know what consciousness is. We don't even know what brains are. We
Robert
don't even
Wagoner,
know what people are.
Who wrote the book on lucid dreaming, often thought that there seemed to be some intelligence that coexisted in the dream space along with us. In other words, in this dream time space that we all share when we go to sleep, and it does seem to be that we all share this sort of allotted space for our dreams, if you want to think of it like that, there does also seem to be, it does seem to be inhabited by some other intelligence that can interact. It knows things about the future and the past and secrets of here and there. And it's very mysterious and mercurial. And who's to say that? I like your idea of being kicked out of a room or a space, but you know, there's also, I don't know. It's such an interesting letter because, you know, maybe something could have entered, you know, you in your dream space, or, but then there's also the, you know, the whole subject of demons and, oh man, such a, what do you guys think? Riley, Mike?
I mean, if I was writing the script of this dream, it would be that he astral projected or remote viewed into some sort of other dimension or other time. And the entities that hang out there were saw him and were like, get the fuck out of here. And
get the fuck out. You're not welcome here. Yeah, totally. Yeah, that is rising 6 feet above your physical body. That's classic astral projection. So, yep.
Yeah, I mean, these kind of experiences are so abstract, you know, it's because it's all sort of based on like your internal experience. And it's all based on sort of like feelings and sensations and stuff. And it's, you know, it just starts opening that sort of door of like, what is consciousness and what is reality and what is the subjective experience? And, and you know, what is, what are we, what are we going through? You know, it's a, I don't know. It's a profound experience to go through. It's a little scary for sure. And there's no making sense of it. There's no like, it's this, you know, it's, but I think it's good when you have something like this to note it and you know, be like, okay, there's something going on here beyond just sort of like the mundane reality of like, I live in a condo and I'm a person, you know. It's I don't know, it's a profound thing. It's really cool, and I appreciate it, Matt sharing it with us.
I love it. Spooky stuff, Matt. Keep us posted if anything else. I know it's been a while, but you know, something like that happens again, you let us know. All right, Bryce, why don't you close us out with this hefty L file that we need to disclose.
Let me just get a little throat spray there.
You're really into this throat spray lately. I mean, I like it as a plug for Aqua Kinetic, but I do
think
we need
a callback, Michael. That's what, called the callback.
What's going on here?
Comedy in the comedy world. Hi, BCC. I'm listening to my backlog of episodes and heard you guys mention the supposedly small vestigial mouths said to be on the Roswell aliens.
Pocket mouths.
Love that verbiage. Pocket mouths. This is a detail I'd never heard talked about before in any detail, but it so shockingly matched my experience that I had to drop everything and write this out. This specific experience is one that is still completely terrifying and unexplainable to me. This experience is completely true, unimagined, and honestly scares me 16 years later if I think about it too much. So, I've only told a small handful of people in my life. With that said, I'd love to hear your thoughts, but I also ask to remain anonymous if this story is read on the pod. I'll try my best to shorten it, but the details are all important, so apologies if this goes a little long. This all happened in the summer of 2016. I was 17 at the time and lived in the outskirts of Sacramento, California. I had friends who lived in the Rio Linda, Alberta area north of Sacramento. These towns are peppered with farmland and eventually give way to huge swaths of nothingness the further north you drive. There's a number of unlit levee roads and areas that can appear completely black at night. This was the first summer I was really allowed to freely use a car without a curfew. So as you might imagine, I was taking full advantage of being able to hang out with my friends until the wee hours of the night. It's maybe also important to note that these were church friends. We were all obedient, polite church kids, so we never did any drugs or drinking or anything mind-altering, just eating cold pizza and playing music and video games until 3 a.m. on a summer weeknight. One particular night, around 3 a.m. or so, I decided to call it a night and head home. I hopped in my beat-up SUV and started the 30-minute drive back towards my house. It was a warm, peaceful summer night, and my ears were shot from hours of playing the drums that night, so I decided to drive home in silence. The road home took me through a number of empty fields and farm areas, and it was a drive I'd made 100 times before. One part of the drive passed an old two-story farmhouse that's about a half a mile off the road. The farmhouse had mysteriously burned down earlier that summer, so for weeks it had just stood as a creepy, charred husk in the middle of a field. I knew exactly where the house was because it was off the road from a little levee bridge that I would have to drive over every time I took this road. It was as I was approaching this bridge that I had my experience. The whole thing took place over maybe 10 to 12 seconds, but since the experience was that of my headlights slowly exposing more and more of the road every second, it was as this was as if each second of time was a completely distinct moment lasting minutes in my memory. I first noticed a tall, thin shape at the edge of the darkness. I knew there used to be an old, dead little tree right off the road at the bottom of the levee, so I assume that's what I'm seeing. Nothing out of the ordinary. As I get closer, I realize the shape is too close to the road, so I'm probably seeing a person or a tall piece of debris on the side of the road. Closer now, and the figure appears to be a person walking up the embankment towards the road, but there's something off about them. Closer now, and I'm close enough to see the figure more clearly. My headlights hitting it dead on now. It is not human. The figure is shaped vaguely like a human, but everything is wrong. The figure's naked, and it's almost entirely gray. There are no pronounced features like genitalia or hair. The creature's limbs are grotesquely long and impossibly thin. Looking back, I'm 100% certain it was not someone in a costume or suit, because a human body cannot fit its limbs or necks into the proportions I was seeing. Like you'd expect, it had huge black eyes, no nose, and an extremely small mouth. I felt strangely calm as I passed the thing, but I don't think it was some kind of influence. I think my brain just wasn't able to comprehend what I was seeing. I was looking it dead in the eye. It was standing on the edge of the road. There was nothing around it. No strings, no sticks. This was not some kind of puppet. We are staring at each other as I drive closer, and it is reaching its arm out to me, its impossibly long fingers grasping at the air towards me. That impossibly tiny, toothless mouth is moving, opening and closing like a fish. It seems to be trying to get my attention, like it wants me to stop. I do not. I pass the creature and continue my drive home in silence. I feel what I remember now as absolute panicked terror, so much so that it broke me. I was so afraid that I felt nothing at all, like true immediate trauma. I remember feeling like it was not safe to walk from the driveway to the house once I got home a few minutes later, but my body did so on its own, despite my mind begging it not to. I went straight to my room, I climbed into bed, and I fell immediately asleep. The next morning, it was like nothing happened. I didn't even think about the event. It wasn't on my mind at all. It took me 6 months before the memory came back to me. I think my brain was just completely incapable of dealing with an event that could not rationalize. I try not to think about it because when I do, it makes me extremely uncomfortable. I'm literally sweating and breathing sharply as I type this in my living room. I can honestly say I haven't had any strange encounters on that level since, and I'm 33 now. Very few people in my life know this story. I know that my description of the thing sounds like the generic gray alien trope, but I'm 100% sure of how it looked. I truly believe it was an alien, though some religious friends have said it was likely a demon taking an alien form to shake my faith, which I don't buy, although I stopped being religious a year after that event for unrelated reasons. I often wonder what it wanted from me, right? Why was it trying to talk to me? Did it need help? Was it connected in some way to the burned house? I don't know, and I kind of hope I never find out. Thanks for everything, you guys. It feels good to get this story off my chest and into the hands of you professionals. Well, thank you. But at the same time, I know I'll be having nightmares for the next few nights. I guess I need to get regressed. Love the show. Take care. Anonymous. Man.
Whoa.
Little gray alien on the side of the road. Sounds like, well, to me.
Tall gray.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, Anonymous, that's super scary, and I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry you had an experience that terrified you as much as it did. That sucks. You know, and like as we unpack this, and you know, I don't take that lightly, but I'll say one thing right off the bat that jumped out at me. You know, when you say, I know that description of the thing sounds like the generic gray alien trope, but I'm 100% sure of how it looked. When I saw the silhouette of the thing at my window, go back to episode zero if you want to hear that story, that was the thing that struck me, was how cliche the entity looked. Like how I had the thought in the moment how on the nose it looked like a classic gray alien silhouette, so much so that it almost felt like a joke. You know what I mean? It was a kind of a weird thing. And almost after I was processing it, going, is it that simple? Is it, I guess that is what they look like. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I guess that is what they look like. So I think they look like this, whatever these things are, you know? And I would also say, look, anyone who's religious is going to try to take, and look, that they could be 100% correct about this being a demon, but I will say, you know, people, I'm not even going to say religious people, people who believe in a, who have a already set belief in the way that the world, that reality works, are going to try to fit something like what you saw into their own personal narrative. So I would take that as a matter of opinion, not as a matter of fact, you know, even though they could be correct. I don't know. I think like you saw something weird. You don't seem to mention any kind of missing time. So if we were really going to unpack this experience, it sounds like you dodged a bullet there, that you got away from it. And then I would say, you know, if we're just doing classic alien tropes, I think also the immediate traumatic feeling followed by the, I didn't even think about it the next day. I think that's kind of common in these stories too, isn't it, Bryce? Don't you feel like?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. It sounds, I like her description of it, that just, it was, she didn't put it as, she didn't describe it as like some block.
I think this is a whatever. He. I think the pronouns here are he.
Oh, I'm sorry. He didn't describe it as like a block.
I could be wrong. But
we don't know. There was missing time. It sounds, I like the description of your brain just not being able to compute what it is you're seeing and experiencing. And, you know, I think, lest we never forget, our eyes are capable of deceiving us, but it also picks up so much information. When you're clocking something like that, and I think you're going to immediately look, is that a costume? Is like, you know, when you see like skinny legs and those details jump out. Riley, I'll never forget that night you put on the Bigfoot suit, a pretty famous Bigfoot suit, in the middle of a dark road in the middle of the night. And I remember the first thing I wanted to do was look at how the legs looked. And they looked like boot cut fur legs. I could easily tell that it was just a human
again
costume.
I will say for our listeners going, wait, what, this is a video no one has ever seen other than
well, maybe one day, long story, but it's a very long story. Anonymous, your description of that gray alien is haunting, to say the least.
It's also so interesting to talk about like that calm that takes over, you know, when the brain is just like completely overwhelmed and the body just sort of keeps functioning, you know. That doesn't necessarily happen when you're just seeing a tree, you know. This person saw something that you know really shook them to their core. And like you said, Michael, it can be interpreted through many different lenses as to what it is this, you know, some sort of religious being, some sort of demonic thing? Is it an alien that's a flesh and blood space traveler? Is it an interdimensional being? Is it something that, you know, comes from like the sort of back corners of our consciousness. It's like there's so many ways to interpret it. Or is it some sort of
elemental? You know what I mean? Is right. this the same thing as an elf or a fairy 400, 500 years ago?
Mm. Right. But whatever it is, the experience of seeing it is very real. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's clearly something that's really stuck with this person. And also, it was very nice to be referred to as professionals.
Loose
at the end of the day,
loosely,
and, yeah. And you know what? It's God. It's really nice to be a resource for you to get this off your chest, and you know, just tell the story. And I think telling the story is, you know, makes other people that have experienced it feel less alone, and it 100%. Also I think helps you to process it and, you know, move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, at the end of the day, we were talking about this the other day. This is a safe place to share these stories, man. And, you know, funny enough, we started out Bigfoot Collectors Club. Oh, maybe we'll collect and talk about our toys. But we've been collecting your stories now for the last 5 years, and it's come such a long way. And they're so incredible to hear that these collections of your experiences. Had you not written into BigfootCollectorsClub@gmail.com, probably nobody would have ever heard about it.
And somebody else out there has seen the same thing you have, Anonymous. I guarantee it.
Yeah, Michael in his fucking apartment.
Maybe. All right, everybody. Well, that wraps up this month's L-Files disclosure. Thanks to everybody who wrote in. I want to remind everybody to join us over on the other side, patreon.com/BigfootCollectorsClub. We will be diving back into Twin Peaks, finally. Woo! And soon, coming up, we'll be wrapping up our Season 3 discussion of Expedition Bigfoot with a special guest. Nice. So you'll have to join us on the other side to find out about that. Also, speaking of the other side, we're going to do some more Patreon shout outs tonight. So stay tuned after the show to hear your name. Follow us on Instagram at Bigfoot Collectors Club, and the three of us at McMills, at Bryce, Mr. Bryce Johnson, I should say, and at Peace Drone. Let's do some plugs. Bryce, tell us what the BCC boys are up to this month.
Oh, man, we're up to so much stuff. I mean, this is going to be the summer of Lake Madness. But, you know, this being a listener's file, I just want to say it again. You know, thank you guys so much for sending us your stories. Keep sending them to us. If you're weary about writing in or you're not so sure, give it a chance. There's a good chance we may read it, and we may really, you know, be able to enjoy it and share it with others. So send us your story of high strangeness. Could be anything. We love it. We want to hear about it. BigfootCollectorsClub@gmail.com. That's where to send them.
Great. Indeed.
Great. Riley.
I guess you already written in the script here, but as per Bryce's suggestion today.
Yeah, this is what I was queuing Bryce up for.
Went off on something else.
I was like, I guess he doesn't want to talk about this. He sold us on it all week. And then it's literally highlighted in the script for him.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm going to do it right now. Okay. Riley, do it with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The BCC boys are on Cameo. That's right. You guys know Cameo. Yeah. You've heard Ellen talk about it. It's Editor's Choice app. If you want to first, Ellen DeGeneres. Didn't it start on Ellen DeGeneres?
I have no idea.
I don't know. But
you've
listen.
Heard Ellen talk about it, you guys. That's how I'm going to start describing our Patreon. BCC The Other Side. You've heard Ellen talk about it.
I've lost my mind. I've been
no
in the
controversy
hot
around
day.
That lady recently.
I don't even know what it is. I'm so like. Anyway, if you want a message from Michael, Riley, or me, just hit us up on Cameo. We'd be happy to leave you a personal message. Hit us up there. You'll find it in our link tree on our Instagram page.
Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna try it out. See if you guys like it. See if we like it. It's a way to engage everybody.
I'll say too. If you want me to play you a cover song, I'll play you a cover song. Just hit me up on Cameo.
That's pretty sick.
Right I'll sing there. A song for you. You know, I don't Damn. Know. I've never felt so famous in my whole life to sign up for Cameo.
this is like Riley signing on to do more tracks on the Patreon. You're biting off a lot. You can like, shoot.
Oh, God, here we go.
Yeah, look, I want to say the cameos might be a couple days late, but you'll get them and they'll be great.
They'll be really special though, and I'll think about it a lot. So you know, I don't know. Just give it a whirl. We'll see what happens.
Great. And if I can, I'll post links to our cameos in our link tree as well. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Stick around for Patreon shout outs if you're waiting to hear your name. And otherwise, until next week, good night.
And go get rest.
I was like, I guess we're not talking about this.
Bigfoot Collectors Club is produced by Riley Bray and Michael McMillan and scored and engineered by Riley Bray. Our theme song, Come Alone, is by Sun Eaters, courtesy of Lotus Pool Records. Do us a favor and support the show and unlock 3 bonus episodes every month by becoming a member of our Patreon, BCC The Other Side, which can be found at patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club.
All right, everybody. It's time for Patreon shoutouts. These are people who have joined BCC The Other Side, patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club. All right, get your thank yous ready, starting with Bryce and alternating with Riley. Here we go. Seth.
Thanks, Seth.
Minor Gibson.
Thank you.
Millie Minor Gibson. Sorry, Millie, I missed your first name. Thanks, Millie. Stevo Susevic.
Thanks.
Could be Suchevic.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stevo. Guys, way. I'm gonna crash some names. I'm sorry. I don't have a pronunciation.
It's okay.
Guide.
Doing the best you can.
We love you. That's the important thing. Ricky Tran.
Thank you.
Davey Thornton.
Thank you.
Robert Glaze.
Thanks, Robert.
Sarah Cowan.
Thanks.
Eric C.
Thank you.
Nicola Wuwat.
Thanks.
Merlin Grubbs.
Ooh, thanks, Merlin.
Are you a bass player or a wizard or both?
Both?
Adam Smith.
Thanks, Adam.
Beth Fegley.
Thanks, Beth.
Zachary Bolds.
Thank you.
Mr. McDog.
Thanks, mister.
I really hope he's helping to prevent crime and making hamburgers. Please. Tad Stones.
Welcome to the Patreon, Tad.
M. Chick.
Thank you.
Mark Erlinson.
Thank you.
Carrie Strong.
Thank you.
Sarah S. Alves.
Thank you, Sarah.
Kimberly Castaneda.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Annie D.
Thank you.
Paul Wanger.
Thank you.
Haley Junkin.
Thanks, Haley.
Grant Wilson.
Thank you.
Katie.
Thanks, Katie.
Tyler Barkelow.
Thanks, Tyler.
Nick Hamilton.
Thank you.
Adrian Barron.
Thanks, Adrian.
Alec Johnson.
Thank you.
Roger Ditto.
Thank you.
Super Roboto.
Thank you, Super Roboto.
Sounds like
that
we
was
do
a
have
chance a... to say domo arigato.
Just... Oh, God damn it, Riley.
Domo arigato, Super Roboto. Moe.
Thank you.
Hannelise San Miguel.
Thank you.
Troy Church.
Thank you.
Itzel Nenetel.
Thank you.
Julie Kumasaka.
Thank you.
Amy County.
Thanks, Amy.
Mike Casey.
Thanks, Mike.
Mickey Hoffman.
Thank you.
John Condon.
Thank you.
Anthony Golden.
Thank you.
Kevin Reynolds.
Thank you.
Rebecca Rideout.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Jason McFarlane.
Thank you.
Linda Barker.
Thank you.
Robert Thornton. I think I said him already. Again. He came and he went.
Look, he's back. Thanks again, back. Robert.
Thanks for coming back,
we're
Robert.
We're happy to have you.
Art Berman.
Thanks, Art.
Lauren Richards.
Thank you, Lauren.
Jeffrey Deldana.
Thank you.
Jason Wissinger.
Thank you.
Matt McLaughlin.
Thank you, Matt.
Taylor Alvarez.
Thanks, Taylor.
Liam Trimble.
Thank you.
Andrew Lasky.
Thank you.
RK Dav.
Thank you.
Frank.
Thanks.
Holly Stidham.
Thanks, Holly.
Ryan Langford.
Thank you.
Yvonne Bolin.
Thank you.
And Henrik.
Thank you, Henrik.
Oh boy, oh boy, thank you. Wow. All of you, you guys, you are the ones who keep this show alive. I am telling you to be true. Seriously. We would not be doing the show. Like, that sounds like bullshit.
It's not bullshit.
But believe it. Believe it.
Yeah, believe it.
We would not be doing the show without you. We certainly wouldn't be doing a jet ski special without you. Mm-hmm. You are the listeners that keep this show alive. I cannot stress this enough. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Honestly, thank yourselves. Without you, there would be no BCC. Okay? That's so just true. The way it is. All right.
Every one of those names is one name closer to getting Bryce naked on a jet ski.
That is also true. Very true. Next summer, everybody, just remember.
Let's see if we can get there. It's only a year away. You know?
Listen, if you've listened this far because you like to hang out with your boys and you've never joined the Patreon, give it a shot. Not only will we call you out and thank you on the show, but you truly will be an integral part of making this show happen. Again, that sounds like I am doing some pledge drive on your public radio station, but it's the same thing. It is honestly the same thing.
I feel like I have a whole new appreciation for public radio pledge drives now, because it really is listeners like you.
It is. Thanks, guys. All right. Go home now. We love you. Go over to the Patreon. Listen to the latest episode. We'll see you later this week over there. Good night. We love you guys. Kisses.
Love you.
See ya. Mwah.
Hey, this is Eric Molinsky, host of the podcast Imaginary Worlds. Each episode, I explore different sci-fi fantasy genres, talking with filmmakers, novelists, game designers, cosplayers, comic book artists, and anyone who works in the field of make-believe. I also look at the fan experience, asking, why do we suspend our disbelief? You can subscribe to Imaginary Worlds wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Heather Ashley here, host of the Big Mad True Crime Podcast. If you're looking for a true crime podcast with all of the details and none of the small talk, you have found your people. Each week, we dive deep into a new case and learn everything there is to know, from getting to know the victim and the impact their case has had on those around them, to the investigation into what happened to them and who is or might be responsible. And if the bad guy looks like he might drink whiskey by a dumpster or has the social skills of an ogre, we say it because we were all thinking it anyway. As the name suggests, we get big mad over true crime, and I would love to have you join our incredible community of listeners with big hearts and zero time for small talk. Subscribe to Big Mad True Crime anywhere you listen to podcasts and listen to new episodes every single Monday.